Dear participants, thank you for standing by. Welcome to DSM's conference call. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To register for questions, you may dial star one at any time. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Lieke de Jong. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, operator. Welcome to this conference call on DSM's first 9 months 2018 results, which we published earlier this morning. Sitting here with me is Mrs. Geraldine Matchett, CFO and member of the Managing Board. She will elaborate on the results and after that is available to answer your questions. We have 30 minutes this morning, so until 8:30 CET. As a reminder, today's presentation can contain forward-looking statements. In that regard, I would like to point you to our disclaimer regarding forward-looking statements as published on our website and in our press releases. I'd now like to hand the call over to Geraldine. Geraldine, please go ahead.
Thanks, Lieke. Good morning, everyone, and welcome from my side as well. Before going into the Q3 results, allow me to just remind you once again that in order to provide as much transparency as possible, we've been reporting separately since the start of the year the estimated impact on our business of the temporary higher vitamin prices resulting from the exceptional supply disruption in the industry. Therefore, what is referred to as underlying business in today's call and in the press release are the normal business activities, excluding what we call the vitamin effect, the temporary vitamin effect, to be precise. As previously mentioned, this split is, of course, not our usual way of reporting and does require some amount of estimates. Now, having made that clear, let me start with the financial highlights of the underlying business for the third quarter. In short, we have had a very good third quarter, building on strong performance we reported in H1, and as a result, we are well on track to making 2018 a very strong year, exceeding once again our Strategy 2018 targets. We reported in Q3 a 5% organic growth, with all our businesses delivering above market growth. Adjusted EBITDA increased 7% in the third quarter, and at constant currencies, this adjusted EBITDA growth for Q4 was actually 10%. This strong earnings performance resulted in a higher ROCE of 13.6%, up 130 basis points compared to the same period last year. As to the temporary vitamin price effect, we saw a small residual EBITDA impact of about 15 million in the third quarter, bringing the total benefits in 2018 to the 290 million euros that you see reported. Now, moving to the performance of the underlying business in nutrition. Nutrition continued to deliver in Q3 on its above-market ambition with another good quarter with 7% organic sales growth. This contributed to a year-to-date organic sales growth of 9%. This good top-line performance, together with a contribution of our cost-saving and efficiency programs, contributed to a strong adjusted EBITDA growth of 10% in the third quarter, leading to an overall 8% increase year-to-date, and this despite a foreign exchange headwind. This resulted in strong EBITDA margin year-to-date of 19.8%. Now, looking at the results of our materials business, although we experienced softness in some of the automotive and building and construction markets, materials delivered a good performance in the third quarter with 3% organic sales growth, 3% adjusted EBITDA growth, and an 18.3% adjusted EBITDA margin. Looking at the 9 months of 2018 for materials, we see a continued strong performance with an organic sales growth of 7%, an adjusted EBITDA growth of 7%, and a ROCE of 21.5%. Now, finally, moving on to the outlook. As indicated in our press release, we confirm our full-year outlook for the year 2018, expecting an adjusted EBITDA growth of approximately 25% and a related higher ROCE growth. In addition, we would highlight that we expect for the full year a foreign exchange headwind of about 70 million, which if we normalize would show an underlying EBITDA growth comfortably in the double digit at constant currencies, which is once again exceeding our targets that we had set in our strategy 2018. We continue to see good business conditions in nutrition. We've continued good momentum in all regions and segments, both for animal nutrition and human nutrition. As for materials, we continue to see good business conditions in most businesses, although we experience softness in some of the automotive markets as well as the building and construction market. But we believe these impacts could be in part temporary in nature. For all other materials markets, as just said, we see ongoing good business conditions. And with this, I would like to open the floor to questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, as said, we will start the question and answer session now. If you have a question or remark, please press star 1. Star 1 for your question or remark. Go ahead, please. The first question comes from Mr. Bart Meyer, Reuters. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Good morning. In his quote, Mr. Sijbesma in the press release cites uncertainties on macroeconomic developments and says that business conditions are good for most of the materials businesses. Some questions on that. The uncertainties, are those the usual suspects, the tariffs and Brexit, or do you see other uncertainties? And can you tell us how uncertainties around tariffs and Brexit directly hit DSM? And furthermore, can you tell us a bit more about the softness you see in certain materials sectors?
Yes, sure. Good morning. So to your question on uncertainties, what we're primarily referring to here is indeed mostly related to tariffs and, if you want, the general macro. In terms of our direct business, I think it's important to highlight that most of our products are exempt from the tariffs. So we're not seeing a direct impact of tariffs on our goods. We also don't have big flows at all of products from US to China or China to US. Having said that, of course, what it is doing is creating maybe a business sentiment out there, which is a bit of nervousness. So that we are clearly watching carefully. We also do purchase some finished goods ourselves, so we may see a bit of inflationary pressure coming through, although we're pretty confident we're able to put that across in our pricing at some stage to customers. But the primary uncertainties is really how are these tariffs going to evolve over time. You know, every day there's a new piece of news about maybe another wave and another group of products, et cetera. So how is that going to affect us directly? And also, of course, the end markets that we serve are living in quite a lot of uncertainty due to this dynamic. So we're referring primarily to that. Brexit, to your question, actually has a relatively limited impact on us. The United Kingdom is not a very big market for us, end market, and our production facility in Scotland, yes, we'll see a bit of admin around that, but we're not really particularly concerned around Brexit, other than, of course, it creates a broader, again, sentiment of uncertainty across Europe, and that is, you know, can have ripple effects. So that's to your first question. Now, when it comes to softness, I think here it's very important to maybe first out and really highlight the fact that the Q3 results are really good, are very good, and that we're confirming a very strong outlook for this year. So when we highlight softness, it is actually in a relatively small part of the company. So as mentioned in the press release, we saw in Q3, actually, we flagged it already a bit in Q2. We see some softness in building and construction, particularly in Europe. But to put that into context, that is not a very sizable part of the company. We may be looking at broadly, you know, 2-3% of our sales as a company. And we are also seeing at the end of the Q3 period a bit of softness in the automotive sector. This is more related to China, where we see some there a bit weaker, and also the testing going on in Europe seems to have caused a bit of delay there, and we have to see how that sort of unfolds over the coming weeks and months. But again, this is the areas of softness, if I put them all together, is no more than probably 5-6% of the sales of the company.
Okay. I just want to follow up, although it's small for your company, but it can be, of course, of interest in a broader perspective. If you see building and construction in Europe weaken, is this a sign of a weakening economic growth in your view?
Well, that is a little bit what is still to be found out, because if you look at the macro data on the economy, it is actually not that clear that the underlying demand and momentum is actually particularly softening. However, this uncertainty that we were talking about is creating a bit of hesitation across the chain. And what you can see there is, you know, a bit of hesitation in investing, a bit of hesitation in holding stock levels, inventory levels of products, et cetera. So it will be very important to see over the next weeks and months how the sentiment in itself maybe is the concern as opposed to the underlying demand.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Ms. Ellen Proper, Bloomberg. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, all. I'm wondering about the cautious outlook some of important end market companies gave, like Nestlé, Danone, and Unilever. Can you elaborate a bit on the impact that could have into the fourth quarter, maybe the first quarter of 2019?
Okay, so it's very difficult for us to comment on other people's comments, but maybe if you allow me, I will give you what we're seeing in our markets, and particularly you're referring here to the nutrition business, which of course is two-thirds of our company. Now, what we're seeing is the business conditions actually are very good in all regions, both for animal nutrition and in human nutrition. Now, if I break it down in the three main segments of the human nutrition, which is what you were pointing towards, we see actually a very strong momentum in our dietary supplements business. So there, no change at all, and that has been one of the growth drivers behind our results. Now, some of the names that you mentioned fall within what we call food and beverage. Now, this is a space that already for a little while has been seeing, you know, a bit of difficulty with growth, but we have been growing in that space well above market because of our offering and our ability to place our products with customers across many geographies. And here we have to be a bit careful which companies, but also which geographies we're talking about in terms of growth in food and beverage. And when it comes to infant nutrition, there what we're seeing is actually a very stable market. Now, different companies seem to have to be experiencing the markets differently, and I don't want to be providing names, but if you look at the overall infant nutrition dynamics, we're not seeing a weakening there either. So overall, actually, a very solid business momentum, as I said, across geographies and across segments.
Okay, thank you so much. And can you also elaborate a bit on higher raw materials? Can we expect more pressure there in the coming quarters, or is that also?
So there may be an answer in two parts. So when it comes to our materials businesses, some of our intermediates are derived from the oil price, although we are increasingly over the years distant from oil price movements. And what we have been able to demonstrate over the last 2 to 3 years is our ability to push through input costs going up into our pricing. Now, you may have a bit of time delay from a quarter to the next, but overall there, depending a bit on the dynamics around that upstream price movements, that we are able to push it through. The input costs in nutrition are quite different. In fact, they have nothing to do with oil. It is simply that we sell more and more of our products through solutions, through products. So we call them premix. So we have a blend of different ingredients that go into either a beverage or a food, and some of these ingredients we buy. So what we have seen is that sometimes these ingredients go up, and we are absolutely in a position to push that through into our pricing. So that does translate into some top-line price up movements, but it is not at the detriment of our earnings.
Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, for any additional question or remark, please press star one. Star one for your question or remark.
Maybe while we're waiting for other questions, I would just like to maybe make one clarification, because we saw a headline which we found a bit surprising this morning. Just to make it clear, on page 3 of our press release, you see the net profit of DSM is down 49%. Now, this is entirely related to the fact that last year in quarter 3, we divested a significant associate and booked a one-time profit on disposal of $1.2 billion. Now, of course, this is the reason why on the line just above, we have what we call the adjusted net profit in order to carve out these one-timers. And there, our net profit is up 69%. So just for those who were struggling to maybe understand that our performance is very strong, both in the quarter and year to date. Just if this helps to make clarity, I don't think it's for anyone on this call, to be honest, just to be sure.
There seems to be no further questions.
Thank you. Then we'll wrap things up. Geraldine, would you like to make some closing remarks?
Yeah, thanks, Mel. In summary, as we said, we are pleased to report that we have a very good third quarter with continued above-market organic growth in all businesses, which is reflected in the strong EBITDA development that we've had. We're well on our way to a very good 2018, once again exceeding our Strategy 2018 targets. And we reiterated this morning our outlook for the full year, which we're confident in achieving. We are in general positive about the current business conditions, as you've heard, and we remain confident on our ability to deliver our targets to 2021, which we announced earlier this year. And with that, I wish you a good day and hand back to you. Take care.
Thank you, Geraldine, and thank you all, and have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this will conclude the DSM conference call. You may now disconnect your line. Have a nice day.